Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It is a Tie Tuesday. Ty Law will be on this show around 9 this morning. Jelani Tavai on a bye week. Patriots linebacker at 7:30, so less than a half an hour away. And we begin the 12 days of Chris Curtismas at 8:45 on this morning's show. Today's leads are brought to you by Subaru. Get a new Subaru during the Subaru of New England Share the Love event, and Subaru retailers will donate $300 to charity on your behalf. SubaruofNewEngland.com is where you go for that. Wiggy, your lead remains this morning. Hello.
Hello and good morning. All right, so let's...
Season's greetings.
Season's greetings to all. Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, you know, Feliz Navidad, whatever it is that you celebrate.
That might have to be the first holiday rejoin tune this year, Feliz Navidad.
That's a banger.
It really is.
Is that a Mount Rushmore Christmas song?
I think
you?
It is. It's on my emergency top five. The Jose Feliciano version, not a cover.
Of course.
I hear a cover, like you're listening to Muzak or something. Like
I get the ick.
Walking out of doors or into a store or something, and it's ick central. But anyway, yes.
All right, so the question this offseason that we are going to ask is, it Robert Kraft, who's not willing to spend money, or is Elliot Wolf good enough to identify and maybe go after the pieces that you want in free agency, the draft, potential trades. So that's my biggest question, because when we look at the turnaround, especially after, because I don't think Mayo's going anywhere after this year, but he needs to know. He probably realizes, like, all right, my feet are being held to the fire, especially next season. So you got to ask yourself a few questions. Is Elliot Wolf has what it takes to go out there and be aggressive when it comes to this offseason? There are a number of guys who have been thrown around this trade deadline, and guys that are looking at the end of a potential contract that could be available. And when you talk about turning your team around, you could do that real quickly. Offensively, we already know about T. Higgins being a free agent. There's been rumors about Deebo Samuel being traded out of San Francisco because the Pearsall, who has done well, kid came back from being shot.
Yep.
They got Brandon Ayuk over there. There's also defensively a couple names. I always bring up Max Crosby, but there are two names that potentially could be available via trade that would instantly change the face of your defense. First is Myles Garrett. His name was being thrown around during the trade. And then this one here is somebody that you'd have to give up some pieces, but I would. And I believe Curtis talks about the Dallas Cowboys not wanting to pay guys. Is that you, Curtis,
yeah,
who talks about that?
Overall, they seem
overall, Micah Parsons is on his last year of the deal. And there were some trade rumors about him this trade deadline. So if you're Elliot Wolf, do you have enough guts to go after those guys to change the face of your franchise, because you have the most important piece tied up for another couple of years in Drake May? Or does Robert Kraft have enough, enough grit, guts, cojones to say, I'm willing to cut checks for some big name people, or
burn some cash?
Is he willing to burn some cash? Because I believe Mayo is looking there and saying, we need to burn cash, because if not, I'm not going to be. After next year, he's probably going to be gone if we have another year like this.
It was interesting that he was looking ahead. Yesterday, I believe you asked him the question about.
I did.
Oh, I'm sorry. Great question by Greg.
Thank you.
About, you know, looking to the future and what pieces they need.
He said this week is a big week for him.
And I thought he would say, you know, I'm only focused on this season.
Yeah. No,
but he did it.
I like it.
Yeah.
I like it. So, all right.
So, who do you have faith that if Kraft says, so I guess the question is, do you have faith if Kraft says to Elliot Wolf, go ahead, spend like a drunken sailor?
Well, I'm worried about the draft pick and what they end up, where they land when it comes to a draft pick. Mm-hmm. And then thinking that they can go ahead and draft somebody and that's going to be enough. Like draft an O-lineman and they're going to be happy with that. Add some sort of a wide receiver who's a, you know, two minus, three plus, and feel like that's enough. That's
well, the wide receiver draft class is not that great. The number one wide receiver is the kid from Arizona, Tetaroa McMillan. Big kid, can, you know, go up in those 50-50 balls. But when you look at the draft class as far as the wide receiver, it's not like what we saw last year, a couple years ago.
Yeah, I don't mean add second or third round.
Right.
I mean somebody's two or three wide receiver-wise and think that's enough. Like, that's my concern there.
Okay.
All right, Wiggy, thank you.
You got it.
Saturday is the 11th annual Jingle All the Way 5K to benefit the Greg Hill Foundation. And for the first time ever, I believe we may have nearly 2,000 of you running or walking the streets of the Seaport in Christmas garb, celebrating the holiday season. And so, as a warning for those of you who are going to run or walk with me on Saturday, I wanted to share something that happened at a turkey trot 5K over Thanksgiving, so that you are making sure that you keep your head on a swivel while running or walking on Saturday. This is what happened in Watertown, New York. If you're watching on Twitch or YouTube, see those ladies?
Whoa!
They are receiving a vicious attack by random deer that are running through the area, and those three, unfortunately, those grandmas who were running right there, two of them ended up in the hospital. What are you laughing at, Wiggy?
I'm sorry. You're either one of those people that watches people fall and could watch it over and over again.
Look at
laugh.
The poor things, like they don't even see the deer, like coming out of nowhere, and unfortunately, end up with severe injuries.
How was the 5K? I don't know. I broke my leg thanks to a deer.
That's a hip. That's a definite hip.
This one goes hard.
Deers have to be the worst animals when it comes to coordination when it comes to running. Like once they start going straight, they have no coordination.
They can't stop and they're not coordinated at all. They can't avoid anybody.
They can't avoid
so
anything.
Fast, though, Wiggy.
I mean, even then,
they cause a lot of damage. I mean, I can only imagine how hurt these two were. But if they hit your car.
Yeah.
Your car is donezo.
Yeah, so just
a warning. Can't wait to see everybody on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
There will be a very special Christmas edition of the Ken and Curtis Show on Saturday, live at the Grand in the Seaport from 9 until 1. And cannot wait to see all of you there. And I'm hoping that what happened in Watertown, New York, when Grandma got run over by a reindeer, does not happen on Saturday in the Seaport. All right.
Too good.
Those are our leads, and we will get to They Said It next, and then Jelani Tavai at 7:30. Right now, Courtney, and what is trending this hour?
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by Shaw's. The Celtics bounce back nicely at home against the Heat. 109-89 was the final. Derek White and Jaylen Brown were back for this one, but no Kristaps, Drew, or Al for the Seas. Jimmy Butler was out for Miami, and Peyton Pritchard had 25 points, his fourth consecutive 20-point game. Jaylen Brown led with 29 points.
Curtis, in the Twitch chat, and I don't think this is nice, but a suggestion that those two ladies look like they are currently on the Patriots defense when it comes to stopping the run. And I do not think that is a nice way to look at it.
That is not kind, especially on a day like this.
The Seas off tonight before having a home game with the Pistons tomorrow, but the Bruins welcome the Red Wings to the TD Garden tonight. Puck drop is at 7. Monday Night Football had the Browns falling 41-32 to the Broncos with Jameis Winston throwing for 497 yards and 4 touchdowns. He did have 3 interceptions, 2 of them being pick sixes. An update on Christian McCaffrey, who went out in the Niners Sunday night matchup with the Bills with a knee injury. Kyle Shanahan announced he will remain out for at least 6 weeks. McCaffrey, of course, just returned after missing the first 8 games of the season. And today only, stop into your local Shaw's or Star Market for their daily deal. Today's daily deal is sensational ready meal salads for $6.99 each. That's right, ready meal salads are $6.99 each. Shaw's and Star Market, perfecting the art of fresh. That's what's trending. Here's Curtis with your weather.
24 degrees, cloudy skies, afternoon high 37.
Fantasy freaks and geeks, it's James Kell from the Sleeper King Football Podcast. We all know sleepers can win you championships, but finding these guys takes time. That's where the Sleeper King comes in. Let me do all the research so you don't have to. Every week, I'm going to break down which sleepers you need to pick up off the waiver wire and which surprise deep sleepers could help you win the week. Every episode, just 15 to 20 minutes long, every Tuesday through Friday. Subscribe to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your pods.
News with Courtney coming up in 15 or 20 minutes at 7:45, and that includes Taco Bell drive-thru rage, which led to violence in our nation's heartland. And as I mentioned earlier, big news for Shime, because science has determined the top fetishes of this year, and 2024 was a big year for the gamers.
Hell so. Yeah.
We will get to that coming up. It's a Thai Tuesday, Thai Law at 9. It's also a Tavai Tuesday, and Jelani Tavai will join us in just a few moments.
It's time for
Larry Bird's not walking through that door, fans.
Would not say that I'm Mona Lisa Vito of the football world.
They want you to cook the dinner. At least they ought to let you shop for some of the groceries.
Said it.
Wake up to Del Bambino and have me face him. Maybe I'll grill him in the eye.
They said it.
I'm just going to say it.
Where do you want to start this morning, Shine?
Well, Greg, I want to start with my guy, Drake May. He was on with the WEEI afternoon show yesterday via the phone. He was with Hart and Fitzy because Arcand is out sick. And Andy Hart asked him about his comments post-game about this loss being heartbreaking.
Correct.
For Drake May. And here was Drake May's response on losing and that loss being heartbreaking.
It's frustrating. I think the biggest thing is just motivational. I think it's motivational to come back and, you know, study hard or kind of get something in small group meetings or, hey, meet with receivers more, meet with the O-line more, talk through more looks, little things like that, because we're just a few plays away from, I think, being on the right side of things. And I think, you know, those guys see that and they're not losing sight of that.
Heartbreaking because he wanted the opportunity to throw the Hail Mary. Heartbreaking because they run the football back to back to back when they got a kid who has a really, really good arm.
But I kind of agree with Mayo in the sense where I think you have a better chance of making a 65-yard field goal.
It was
68 yards. 68-yarder.
You have a better chance of doing something that has never been done in the NFL before.
Yeah.
Then you have the chance of doing something that has actually been done this season in the NFL.
Well, that's
in the form of the Hail Mary.
That's
okay.
That's because.
Is there anything you won't defend this?
No. See, here's the thing. Now that is because teams never went for 60 plus yard field goals at all, and so you always
because you can't.
Because kickers
you can't
weren't
kick the ball that
kickers
far.
Are way better
but
now.
Kickers weren't able. Listen, kickers weren't able to do that nowadays.
But Sly hasn't been that good.
But he
missed a 25.
He has the franchise record for the longest field goal, guys.
He's been great.
But he has the strength to do it.
Listen to my point.
Earlier in the game, he attempted a 25-yarder.
Yeah, no, I know that,
and it hit Jonathan Kraft off the head.
I understand that. I bet there was a point in time in football where guys didn't even throw Hail Marys because quarterbacks weren't good enough to do it. In today's game, even Bill said this watching on the crappy Manning cast, the way you look at a kicker before the game, these guys are booming 60-plus yarders like they're nothing. Yeah. So it's more likely that, you know, you start seeing more and more guys kick 60 yarders than it is to throw a Hail Mary.
I'm a big analytics guy, and the analytics tell me that you go for the Hail Mary.
Well, that's because
Drake May was playing pretty well
Joe. Yeah, but a Hail Mary is all chance.
Right, but
I get that it's all chance, Shime. So I understand.
The analytics
field
don't
add, all chance.
No, no,
too,
but the analytics don't add up, Greg, because before, teams never did this because kickers weren't good enough to do this.
I understand.
Nowadays, kickers are good enough to boom 60-plus yarders.
But when your kicker missed one during the game, then I'm surprised that they went that route.
It's the free-range chicken that they're eating. Mm-hmm. It's boosted their foot power.
But I honestly would like to defend Wiggy here, because while a Hail Mary has occurred successfully this year, it's not like Sly's kick landed at the 5-yard line.
It was dead on.
It was close.
It was dead on. Yeah. It was about a foot or a yard away from getting there.
All right, what's next, Shime?
Next, let's go to D'Amico Ryans. There was that crazy hit from Azeez Al-Shaair on Trevor Lawrence over the weekend, and D'Amico Ryans is here to defend his guy and tell you that the Jacksonville Jaguars might have overreacted. Here is D'Amico Ryans.
We stand behind Azeez and everything, you know, that came from that. Of course, the unfortunate hit on the quarterback, but it's also, it's twofold, right? I mean, a lot of the quarterbacks in this day and age, they try to take advantage of the rule where they slide late and they try to get an extra yard. Now, you're a defender. A lot of onus is on the defender. You don't know what a guy's thinking. You don't know if a guy's standing up and he's continuing to run. You don't know. And then you get a late slide and you hit the guy. Unfortunately that Trevor got hurt. We want to hope Trevor is okay, but it's also, if we're sliding, we have to get down. And that rule is there to protect the quarterbacks, and we want our quarterbacks to be safe in the league, so we just have to be safe. If we're sliding, the entire thing is, you know, Azeez hits the guy, but their sideline overreacts, and it turns out and turns into a melee. It wasn't our guys. It's their team overreacted, pushed our guy, dragging our guy to the sideline, so that's uncalled for.
Okay, he could have avoided him. Mm-hmm. He's a guy. He's a dirty hit guy anyway. Like, I'm sorry.
That's the problem.
There's no excuse that works for me on that. I think I heard Rex Ryan yesterday saying that quarterbacks ought to be diving.
Yeah, this has been Andy Hart's stance for a while now, to teach kids to start diving head first instead of legs first, so that it takes those hits to the head out of play.
Yeah, I've always been on dive head first.
You have been?
Oh, yeah. Because it's one of those things where you can kind of maybe avoid, if a guy's trying to torpedo you when you slide, you could like just dive. I've always been like dive head first.
I mean, they got to figure something out, because there are guys who game the system a little bit, like Mahomes.
Yep.
Like Mahomes is pretending to run out of bounds, and then he doesn't get hit, and then he gets another extra 5 yards. Or there are guys who extend that slide, you know, for a couple extra yards here or there. I think
it's a simple way to remove it from the game.
What's the
rule should be, if you leave the pocket and you become a runner, unless you give yourself up way early, you are fair game. If you don't give yourself up with like 5 yards in, you know, like in open space, like early enough where nobody's around you, you are fair game.
Oof. And you know what's amazing is that the Josh Allens and the Mahomeses and Lamars of the world, in a big game or late in the fourth quarter of the playoffs, they take advantage of the secondary's instinct now to not go in for the kill.
Right.
Like, I mean, how many plays did Mahomes have in that playoff run last year where it's 3rd and 8, there's nobody open, and he runs and gets the first down and slows up, and then all of a sudden accelerates another 15 yards down the field.
Yeah. And I never played defense.
Yeah.
And I bet it's extremely difficult for those guys to react the last second. And most of the time when a quarterback slides, it's generally because he's got a lot of space around him and he's already broken the pocket. So if you don't give yourself up early with like a 5-yard halo around you, you become fair game.
Yeah. All right, I know who we can ask about this, and that is Jelani Tavai, New England Patriots linebacker, who joins us today as opposed to Friday because of the bye week. And Jelani, Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm good. How are you guys?
We're great. We were just talking about that hit on Trevor Lawrence, and how difficult is it when you're out there and your job is to hit guys, to control something like that? I'm sure you've seen it. Where do you stand on a hit like that?
I mean, that was tough, you know. I think it's the hardest thing to do is, like, tackling a quarterback, because you don't know if they're going to slide. You don't know if they're going to try and get the extra yard or go out of bounds. So, I mean, I understand where he's coming from, but it's just a tough play, you know, like.
Is there any fix from your, like, Wiggy brought up his potential fix.
Five-yard halo. If the quarterback doesn't slide with early enough, then he is fair game. Because I've never tackled anybody, but I know it's got to be hard because they wait till the last second to slide, and they have enough room to slide earlier.
I mean, this also goes on probably the players or on the quarterbacks too. You know, like you can't slide last minute. You know, that's I mean, as much as you think that, like, I don't know. I don't like it because they're so protected in this league. I mean, back in the day, you could do whatever to a quarterback. You can dog rag him. You could whatever, and everybody was okay with it.
Right.
And everybody was like, "Oh yeah, that was a great play." now it's like, screw this guy. You know, he's a terrible player. Da da da. But you know, back in the day, like that's how we learned how to play before the rules changed. I was just going to say, again, it's on the player to make sure if he wants to be safe, slide early.
Jelani, you guys had a practice yesterday before your bye week. Jerod Mayo's big proclamation yesterday was it was time to hit the reset button for you guys and figure some things out. Losing these really close games down to the wire like you guys did on Sunday, how difficult is it for a team, and what's been the message inside the locker room for the end of the season?
I mean, I agree with him. It's definitely a week of us reflecting on the year and hitting that reset button. Right now everybody's trying to put on good film because, you know, it comes down to job security now. So it's up to the guys. If they want to improve, then, you know, they have to understand that we gotta fix those little things, especially when it comes down to the last few seconds of the game. We can't allow teams to capitalize on our mistakes.
We just played some audio from Drake May, and he, after the game on Sunday, talked about this loss being heartbreaking. Is that kind of the sentiment that you have and that this team has?
Of course. Those close games like that, especially, you know, when it comes down to us on the defensive side, you know, a part of us feel like we just let it down with those last few critical plays, whether it was penalties or misreads. But, yeah, that one was tough. It was tough to swallow after the game. But, yeah, it's on to a new week. Luckily, it's bye week, and we got to reset.
Jelani, your former coach last night was on with Jim Gray and podcast, Let's Go Podcast, and he said that he feels sorry for the defensive players this year that the team hasn't been able to be as successful defensively as they were with him. What would you say to that commentary?
I don't know. I don't listen to I don't really watch the media. So right now we're just trying to, you know, figure things out, and like I said, we're trying to reset. You know, I'm not trying to listen to the outside noise as much as I miss, I love Coach Bill. we just got to reset.
Well, never mind his perspective. When you look at this defense, you were here last year, and you look at statistically it being in most every category, worse than it was last year, What do you when you point at a reason or when you reflect on why that is? What do you think that is? You know,
It's just attention to detail. Whether it's us making tackles or keeping the quarterback in the pocket, it's always those little things that just bite us in the butt. It's probably just, I would just say that.
When it comes to attention to detail, a lot of people want to put that on Jerod Mayo as somebody who plays for him. What would you say to those people? Do you think that the defense failing and the penalty issues, does that fall on him?
No, this is a team sport. You know, we're all at blame. You know, we can't just throw it on our coach. You know, so I take responsibility of whatever I've done. And I know the guys do the same. So it's not one person's fault. You know, this is a collective, and that's what I love about team sports.
Jelani, when you say the little things and have played, you know, haven't played the game before, generally attention to detail, little things, I feel like sometimes is the players not putting enough mental work in, studying film, doing situational football.
Here we go again from the former player.
Do you feel like that at do you feel like at times, because like when you say the little things, is it a lack of focus and a lack of maybe not understanding the situation?
No, we go over situational football every day. You know, it's like when I say little details, it's like if we're in cover three, we're the hook players. We got to get depth. You know, sometimes guys think that they're getting depth, but really they're working more lateral than they are, like or horizontal than getting depth. So there's stuff like that, like. It's the hidden things that people don't see in the game, and then sometimes plus it's penalties. You know, we're biting ourselves in the butt, whether it's us being not conditioned or whatever. Like that's simple things that we shouldn't be doing.
Do you also think, and I think Boomer Esiason brought this up, but Ty and I talk about it, the lack of practice time. Because practice is a way shorter, that maybe when you talk about a guy getting to his hook to curl zone, he's not doing it enough in practice where it becomes second nature. Do you think that might affect some of the, you know, overlooking the little things, is the lack of practice time that you guys actually have to be out on the field?
I don't think so, because, you know, I don't like to compare, of course, but If we're putting last year and this year together, like we had the same amount of time in practice and the outcome was like that. And, you know, now, and if we look at the present, it's on the guys to do stuff after practice. If they want to get the extra work in with the older guys or with the assistant coaches, like that's on the guys. And like I said, I do see those guys do that after practice. You know, I will see Wise at the sleds after we break the huddle, and he's out there for probably 15 to 30 minutes after practice is done. So, it's stuff like that that'll help.
I mean, for you, we should point out the positive. Nice tip that led to an interception on Sunday.
Appreciate it.
And something perhaps that we can end this on a positive note, something that we can definitely agree on, I think, on the holiday table. When it comes to perhaps a leftover Thanksgiving Sandy or just warm and buttered, King's Hawaiian, the
rolls?
The best roll to have on the holiday.
Yeah. I was just thinking about that, too.
We would agree on that, at least.
Those are great for making sliders.
They are great for sliders. They're really great for anything.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I mean, they really are. The crescent.
Y'all got extra.
I no use for the
y'all
crescent.
Got leftover ham.
Yeah. Oh, leftover ham. Yeah. Fantastic.
Yeah, I would make a breakfast sandwich out of that. Throw some eggs. Like, cut the whole roll in half. Yeah. Throw some eggs in there, and then leftover ham and cheese. Oh.
Oh, yeah.
Toast it up, throw some jelly on it.
Jelani, Greg never leaves the house without at least a pocket full of King's Hawaiian.
As you should.
All right. Well, listen.
He's a smart guy.
enjoy enjoy the bye week, and we will get to talk to you again next week. All right?
I appreciate it.
All right. There you have Jelani Tavai. Any nuggets, Wiggy?
Listen, when I think of little things as a former player, and granted, maybe I did play, you know, during the dinosaur era where practices felt like they were 4 and 5 hours long, maybe that's part of, you know, Matt Light talks about it. If you're in a, he talked about a linebacker trying to get to their depth, but if you only do it 2 or 3 times and practice for, you know, 2, 3, 4 times during the week, it doesn't always like register. Whereas if you're doing it 30 times because the practice is, you know, 3.5 hours long and then you're staying out there for another 45 minutes. I remember Ty Law and Otis Smith after every practice, after they put their work in, after they put, you know, 30 minutes of, you know, 40 minutes of work, whether it was Ty used to do it, Roman Pfeiffer, and I didn't even play. Yeah. They would then go and do conditioning for another 15 minutes.
Ty said he used to run to and from Gillette for practice. Yeah. Like, it's just a different era.
I got a nugget, and so did several who are texting in or in the Twitch chat. Yeah. He said he misses Bill.
Stopped himself.
Yeah, he stopped himself.
He stopped himself.
But he did make a point where, like, they had the same amount of practice time last year, and they weren't maybe making the same mistakes.
No, wouldn't it stand to reason, Greg, if we trust Ben Volden, which I know is a leap of faith, that during the 2020 season, there were players in the locker room that missed Brady? Remember that report?
Yes.
Wouldn't it stand to reason that there would be guys on the defensive side of the ball who are struggling that may miss Bill Belichick?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, it would probably be odd if they didn't.
No.
And I think that's... I'm saying it's interesting that we got... I mean, he caught himself, but I would be shocked if there weren't more players.
Is it really Bill they miss, or is it Steven Belichick?
Well, they had a great game plan against the Ducks on Saturday.
Well, college is different. Steve Belichick calling them plays last year. Yeah. Maybe that's who Mayo should have hired as his defensive coordinator.
I think the Ducks just scored again.
He kept the wrong Belichick.
Yeah, and he elevated the wrong guy to D.C. Yeah. Should have been Steven.
All right, well, we will be right back with today's news, including big news for Scheim, based on the top fetishes of this past year. Jelani Tavai on a Patriots Tuesday was brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market, perfecting the art of fresh, and by findmassmoney.gov, and a bye week, so we won't talk to Jelani Tavai again until next week. But we got to get to this.
It's time for...
You know, if you just look at where the stars are in the sky, don't look at them as just random things. If you just look at them as points, look at the constellation. What does it show you?
The news.
So you just outlined it, Roland. What does it show you?
With your host, Courtney Cox.
Honey, let me see your dumper.
Sponsored by Northeast Men's Health, with 5 locations throughout New England and at northeastmenshealth.com.
Not a chance in France.
But. On WEEI.
We will get to the news, but it appeared, and this is a rare occurrence, it appeared that Coach had a thought.
Yes, I did.
Just as we went to the news intro.
I just wanted to make sure we're factually correct.
Yes.
Last year, Washington's defense was worse than they are this year with Steven Belichick. And not only is Washington, last year they were in the Pac-12, which they are in the Big 10 this year.
I see.
Last year, total points per game, 25 points per game defense was given up. This year, 23.
So you would say he has improved that
defense. He has improved that defense in a much harder division or conference in the Big Ten versus being in the Pac-12. Just want to throw a few of those facts out there.
Ah, neutralized. Bam.
Once again, Curtis has been neutralized or neutralized.
Bam.
Yes, bam. All right. Where do you want to start with the news?
We're going to start with the 45-year-old female driver of a minivan that was struck by a commuter rail train in Abington around 3 o'clock yesterday. She is expected to recover. Mm. Police say that the safety grade crossing equipment was working when the minivan was hit and dragged down the tracks.
Was she impatient, or I didn't understand the safety mechanisms? Did she take a wrong turn? What happened?
It seems as though wasn't working. Like, it seems from her point of view, like the safety guard was not working. The MBTA says that it was. I mean, so I would guess she was being impatient, tried to rush it. But if you look at that minivan, she's lucky that she's going to be okay.
Yeah. She absolutely is.
Jesus
Lord.
Do you not see the big red light and the thing that comes down?
There were a lot of witnesses who watched this all happen. A lot of people that rushed to her aid. A lot of good Samaritans. We can hear from one witness, Sean O'Malley, on Boston 25.
She pulled on towards the tracks. The things came down. She tried to back up. She hit the arm and more or less froze. You could hear the screeching, dragging it down the tracks.
So it seems like...
It sounds like operator error. Not MBTA error.
It seems to me like she got through, then they went down, she tried to back up, she couldn't get around. They need to fix that.
A traffic situation. You know how some people, when there's a lot of backed up traffic and you get caught at the red light and you're kind of caught in the intersection? Maybe there was a lot of traffic and she got caught trying to go across, and then now she's caught on the tracks.
Okay, well, jump out of the thing or get out of there. Like,
well, also, can't you pull like to the right of the car in front of you?
It doesn't seem like she had enough time. I mean, they're saying she was trying to back up, and then all of a sudden it was impact. Really scary.
That is scary.
Lucky that she is expected to recover. A woman in Everett got caught on camera dropping a handful of rocks into the windshield wiper well of two cars on Hancock Park. Now, I read this story and I said, if someone ever cheated on you, brilliant idea. To do that.
Not
like,
really.
What an annoying thing to do to somebody. Ruins their windshield.
Yeah.
Here's Jim Riley, the boyfriend of one of the victims on BZ.
I was really mad. I go, I mean, if the person's doing this to two vehicles, she's probably going to continue this behavior. You just don't stop doing this. You could dent, you could chip the paint, you could get the rocks into the engine area and stop bouncing around. You could put on your windshield wipers and scratch your windshield. You can do a lot of damage. It was rocks.
Another jackass who has not figured out everything is on a camera now.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, there you are. We know who you are.
Right. Right.
Probably pissed off that somebody's parking in some spot that she thinks is hers or whatever it is.
Well, how has this not happened in Southie with the Space Savers?
Oh, don't give any ideas, Curtis.
Yeah.
It's a good booby trap.
Yeah. All right. So they know who she is, and she's being dealt with legally. Mm-hmm. You're good.
Okay. Andrew Leach, a man in Evansville, Indiana, was arrested early Sunday morning after threatening to stab a Taco Bell employee. Police say Leach entered a Taco Bell after being told he was only allowed to order his food through the drive-thru. He didn't like that. He wanted to go in, and when they told him again, nope, we're only taking orders through the drive-thru, that's when he started to threaten to attack and stab one in the parking lot.
It seems like it would be the other way around. Like, who doesn't enjoy using the drive-thru?
Yeah, I don't know.
Maybe he was on a bike or on foot. Maybe he wasn't in a car and found that to be annoying.
Okay.
I don't know.
I guess the question would be, if the drive-thru is open, why isn't the actual interior of the restaurant open? But
well, sometimes maybe they're cleaning up or there's like some places late night. I would say, listen, bro. The drive-through menu is the same as the menu on the inside.
Yeah.
Get the same. Unless he wanted the free refills.
Who do you think? Who invented the drive-through? Because what a great.
McDonald's.
It has to be Ray Kroc.
Who invented
Ray Kroc stole it from the McDonald brothers or whenever he stole McDonald's. I mean,
it's In-N-Out.
Really?
Wow.
The Snyder family invented the drive-thru in 1948 when they opened the the first In-N-Out burger in California.
They deserve the Congressional Medal of Honor for that.
Absolutely.
Like, that is
the greatest thing.
Completely changed the game.
Oh.
Like, they used to have the thing where you drive up and the server would roller skate out.
Yes. Like a checkers.
Doesn't Sonic still do that?
Yes, Sonic.
Yeah, Sonic does that, but that was like the drive.
And does Saver do that too?
no, they do not do that at Saver. But that was similar, but you had to sit there and eat.
Yeah.
It's
better place than eating in your car. Especially.
Really?
A good car eating event. That's why the drive-in movie was so popular.
Yeah,
because
people makes it so messy.
But
the drive-in movie was more about the make-out session.
Oh.
True,
they like the make-out session.
But you could eat whatever 50s. You wanted,
right? And you made out with a burger.
Yeah,
you know, I feel like I've had some of my best meals sitting in my car, just relaxing,
yeah,
unbothered.
You get the grease all over the clothes. Yeah. And,
well, no, you get, if you don't know how to...
The lettuce is falling down in between the seat and the...
Greg, I would expect you to be a fat person like myself. Yeah. Shine probably knows this. You know how to eat in a car without getting it messy.
No, the most embarrassing is when you get out of the car and you have, like, your McDonald's bag and everything, and you got to go dispose of it. Oh, and you just feel shameful.
Yeah, but you don't...
Why is that embarrassing?
I feel like everyone's looking at me like, shame.
Embrace it.
No, yeah. I feel like everybody's like,
eating at McDonald's, embrace it.
No, right. I mean, I love McDonald's, well, but it's just...
Clearly, Courtney's a beginner.
Right.
Because you never get out of your car after you've eaten in it to dump your bag.
What do you mean?
You drive away. You wait, and then you dispose of your bag at the crib.
Yeah, but like when you live in the city, you get out of your car on the street, and then you got to walk with the bag.
Nobody
cares,
Courtney. Yeah,
I think a lot of people are looking at you like, oh, hungover.
Right.
I'm like, nope, just hungry.
We have got to take a... assuming that people think you're hungover because you're eating at McDonald's.
McDonald's is kind of like a hangover.
Well, I think there are people who eat there. They have great food.
I love it.
By far and away, the number one left outside the door late night Uber Eats order on the weekends in Southie is the big bag of McDonald's.
Yep. Is McDonald's,
unopened.
Yep.
Not even close.
Yeah, because they're like the only, they were maybe one of the first places that stayed open late. Burger King closes early.
Yeah.
Wendy's used to close early, but they'll keep, but McDonald's is probably some of them, the first 24-hour drive-thrus.
We hit the BK Lounge on the way back from the Jersey Shore, me and the kids.
Chicken
and
fries?
Whopper Jr. with cheese?
I got the chicken sandwich.
Oh, man. Hold the bun.
Ruin it.
Spicy or not?
Not spicy. No, the elongated chicken sandwich. Yeah. Like the original
The breaded?
The original
it's pretty good.
Yeah, it's not bad. And then Brees' girlfriend, Lauren, got the mozzarella sticks.
Oh. How are they there?
I don't know. Not a lot of mozzarella. More stick than mozzarella. Came with a marinara that kind of tasted like ketchup.
Yeah. You always go Whopper.
The marinara was more ketchup than it was merit going burger-wise by far.
I told you, In-N-Out could maybe have a... could give McDonald's a run for their money, especially animal style.
If there were more locations.
All
right. Rest of the news coming up, including big news for Shime. Science has determined the top fetishes of this year. And it's, I mean, the gamers are stepping right into it. So we'll get to that. I think we also are going to get to influencers in the news.
Yeah, sad story.
A very sad story that is coming up next.